Hello. We bring you the following as part of an hour-long KPFA feature presentation titled After Roe in Search of Reproductive Justice. The team is Hannah Wilson, Kendall Krako, Kate Raphael, CJ Maite, and myself, your host, Sarah Blanco. For today, we want to feature some realities of seeking an abortion after Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization of 2022 overturned Roe versus Wade and overturned Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey. Before we get started, we want to also acknowledge that for many women and birthing folks, true access and actual choice over our bodies were non-existent even before Roe versus Wade was overturned. Many of the same people who demand forced birth will also attack contraception and the rights of the LGBTQ+ community next. I cringe at the thought of how things can and will likely get worse. Today, we voice it to call out for change. Reproductive justice is connected to our rights to autonomy and control over our own bodies, and it is about access to quality health care and access to daycare and higher education, access to STI prevention and contraception. It is about living wages, and it's about the ability to live free of judgment and violence upon our bodies, free of domestic violence, assaults, rape, trafficking, and enslavement. Plus, when you consider the forced sterilizations of Native women, then reproductive justice is also about the right to give birth, and to do so where your personal safety is cherished and protected before, during, and after giving birth. Thus, justice and rights and choice is more than just about abortion. But the political power plays and inherent racism are all connected. You will notice the term reproductive justice in our program's title. Sister Song identifies that that term was actually invented in 1994 by a group of Black women that convened to discuss how the women's rights movement was run by white women of middle class or of wealth, and that women of color and other marginalized women and trans folks really needed their own national movement. They called themselves Women of African Descent for Reproductive Justice. You can learn more at sistersong.net. Reproductive justice is a human right. Heads up, the struggle and stories may be difficult to hear or are triggering. Since the Dobbs decision, at least 43 full-service clinics have closed across 11 states. That leaves many pregnant people vulnerable to pregnancy resource centers that pretend to offer services they don't provide. There are at least three times as many fake abortion clinics as real ones in the United States right now. Kate Raphael speaks to some of the people that are working to expose these fake clinics.
Suppose you missed your period. You go to the drugstore and get a home pregnancy test. That second line shows up. It's positive. You weren't ready for this. In the 21st century, most people's next step is a simple Google search. Let's Google, what if I'm pregnant?
We're your shame-free, judgment-free, go-to place for unplanned pregnancy solutions. We are here to listen, answer questions, and support you in any way we can.
That's my friend Anna, looking at a website called realchoices.com. It's a pregnancy resource clinic in Everett, Washington, near where I live. Let's see what services they provide.
I'm looking at options to get pregnancy, testing, abortion, more relationship sort of things. And then there are other questions, including, can I order the abortion pill online? How much does an abortion cost? Then there's a button to make an appointment and a disclaimer that reads, we provide education on abortion and pregnancy options. We do not refer for or perform abortions or financially benefit from any decision you make.
This clinic is run by the national network CareNet. CareNet is one of the largest operators of what's often referred to as fake clinics.
They are anti-abortion, anti-contraception, anti-LGBTQ organizations. They aim to intercept pregnant people seeking health care to prevent them from accessing abortion contraception. And a second major prong of their mission is to convert people to evangelical Christianity.
That's Jennifer McKenna, the co-author of a study of what are also known as crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy help centers, or pregnancy resource centers. Not everyone uses the term fake clinic. That's because some of these facilities actually do offer some medical services. But everyone who has researched them concludes that their primary mission, regardless of what services they provide, is to prevent pregnant people from accessing abortion. In the Bay Area and Seattle, there are dozens of legitimate clinics offering the full range of pregnancy care, including abortion. So though fake clinics do come up in many searches, they're lower down on the list. But in Idaho, where abortion is now illegal, it's a very different story. When I searched for abortion clinics in Boise, the first hit was Planned Parenthood, which has a big red banner saying permanently closed. The second hit is Stanton Healthcare. It's named for Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the founders of First Wave Feminism back in 1848. Let's click on that link and see what they say about themselves.
At Stanton Healthcare, abortion-vulnerable women receive compassionate quality care at no cost. The clinic is located right next door to Planned Parenthood.
That's right. They proudly tell you that they're located next door to the now-defunct Planned Parenthood. That's not unusual.
They use mobile clinics to position next to actual Planned Parenthood or other reproductive health care providers and are reportedly physically intercepting people trying to get into this to Planned Parenthood. And they often use signage that mimics the sign using the same color, the same design of the women's health clinic that they're trying to intercept people from.
This is not just a problem in red states. This young woman is a student at the University of California at Riverside.
So after learning about my referrals, the first facility that I called told me that they didn't offer abortion services. And it was very shocking to even be referred there in the first place after my doctor knowing what I wanted. Turns out I wasn't the only student from UCR who had been referred to this facility.
The first crisis pregnancy center in the U.S. was set up in 1967 in Hawaii, where abortion didn't become legal until 1970. I first ran into them in the 1980s, when several appeared in the East Bay. Shireen Shakouri is Deputy Director of Repro Action.
The major chains that exist, Heartbeat International and CareNet, started in the early 80s, closely aligned with far-right skinhead movements and, you know, Big C conservative organizing that was happening in the 80s. There's at least 2,700 around the country right now, and worldwide, there's a couple thousand more.
At least 2,700. Keep in mind that before the Dobbs ruling came down, there were fewer than 800 clinics in the country that actually provided abortions. So there were more than three times as many fake clinics as real ones. Back in the day, they used to make the women who were lured in watch a film called The Silent Scream.
Now we can discern the chilling silent scream on the face of this child who is now facing imminent extinction.
But in the 1990s, they got a new tool they found more effective, ultrasound.
More than half of the CPCs in our study were using ultrasound technology. They are using this ultrasound technology to try to persuade people to carry to term, produce the ultrasound image, draw a little picture with an arrow pointing to your baby. And they are using ultrasounds also to sort of signal medical legitimacy.
I reached out to CareNet and they didn't want to talk to me. A clinic director in Santa Cruz declined to speak on the record also. But CareNet has a couple mobile locations in Seattle, and one of them's very near me, in a church parking lot. It's a blue van on a pretty busy intersection with sandwich boards on each corner. The biggest words on it were free ultrasound, huge green letters. There was also a logo for something called Save the Storks. Save the Storks turns out to be a national organization that furnishes mobile equipment, including ultrasound, to anti-abortion centers. Their website claims that, quote, more than 80% of abortion-minded women choose life after they see their unborn child on an ultrasound. I haven't seen any independent verification of those numbers. But one factor could be that the people performing the ultrasounds give women incorrect information about what they show.
In many cases, we're hearing stories of CPCs providing misinformation about the gestational age of the pregnancy either telling a pregnant person that it's too late in the pregnancy to access an abortion, or that they have plenty of time and there's no rush. Anti-abortion politicians pass these gestational limits. So you have to, abortion after 8 weeks is, 6 weeks or 8 weeks is criminal. So that puts the pressure on a pregnant person to get an ultrasound. And the few abortion providers, you know, remaining in these in states that are, you know, passing these bans are totally backlogged. The crisis pregnancy center in your neighborhood is a lot more visible and a lot more available, a resource for a free ultrasound. So you're going into this anti-abortion center to get your ultrasound. And we know that they sometimes either mistakenly, because they're not, the people administering the ultrasounds are not licensed or skilled or trained, or intentfully misdating the pregnancy.
So back to that mobile van I went to check out. Like I said, the biggest words on it were free ultrasound. But below that, in smaller type, were free pregnancy testing and STI testing.
The fifth most common service offered by 28% of the CPCs in our study was sexually transmitted infection, STI testing. What we found was that in many cases, what they meant by STI testing was a self-assessment questionnaire, not clinical testing. Some may do clinical testing. What we also found is that virtually none made referrals for people who tested positive for an STI, and virtually none provided treatment for people who test positive for an STI.
I'm looking at the website for Real Options, run by the Catholic Finance National Network, OBRIA. They have clinics in Oakland, San Jose, Redwood City, and Union City. One of the services listed in their drop-down menu is abortion pill reversal. This is something I never heard of before I started working on this documentary. Nearly all the crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers I've looked at offer it. Monica McLemore is professor of nursing and public health at the University of Washington.
Let me explain what a medication abortion is. You take a dose of mifepristone, which is also called RU486, and then you use misoprostol to complete a medication abortion. Proponents of medication abortion reversal decided that if you flood the body with progesterone and you instruct patients not to take that second medication, the misoprostol, that you could save babies. And there's no evidence to show that actually that's true. We've known for years that RU486 or mifepristone is not effective by itself, which is why we had to add the misoprostol. When our colleagues and collaborators, Dr. Mitch Creenan and his team, decided to actually run a randomized clinical trial looking at medication abortion reversal and to rigorously test the regimes, they had to stop the clinical trial because what they found was not providing the misoprostol after taking mifepristone actually sent two patients to the emergency department for heavy bleeding. Anyway, this medication abortion reversal was being offered to patients at crisis pregnancy centers. Then they petitioned the State Board of Nursing in California to say that nurses needed to be exposed to this life-saving treatment that was not clinically tested, and that they started teaching nurses at their annual meeting how to provide medication abortion reversal.
No one seems to know how many women actually go to pregnancy resource centers to get abortion pill reversal. But the real purpose, advocates say, is to promote the idea that a lot of people regret their abortions. They also advertise support groups for something called abortion regret syndrome, which Jennifer McKenna calls a totally made-up syndrome.
Almost two-thirds of the CPCs in our study promoted patently false and biased medical claims about abortion, especially, like that abortion can cause breast cancer, which is absolutely debunked by the American Cancer Society. And that abortion causes, you know, PTSD and depression and other mental health conditions. An online training by Heartbeat International that a journalist participated in undercover. The trainer instructed people who were being trained as volunteers to tell people that there were cases in which having an abortion made the woman's partner gay.
Most people who go to these clinics aren't even thinking about abortion. In Jennifer McKenna's study, over 80% of the clients were looking for the free goods they advertise, like diapers, strollers, and cribs. But it's not so simple.
The CPC requires the pregnant person who is hoping to get diapers or a bassinet to participate in ideological programming at the Crisis Pregnancy Center first. And the CPCs actually have programs, baby bucks programs, or earn while you learn programs that people have to participate in before they can access the services or the material goods that they came to the CPC to get.
Okay. So these facilities, or some of them at least, claim to provide services they don't provide and give out information that's misleading or even inaccurate. That's got to be against the law, right? Wrong, says Jennifer McKenna.
They operate without government oversight or any consumer protections because they're nonprofit providers of free services. So they evade accountability under most state consumer protection laws that only govern transactions that have financial implications.
A few years ago, California tried to do something about that. They passed a law proposed by then Attorney General Javier Becerra called the FACT Act. Monica McLemore.
Where restaurants were required to have a letter rating A, B, C, or D in the window so that customers could know where they were eating, around cleanliness, around following OSHA and other kinds of standards. Attorney General Becerra was hoping to have similar A through D rating sign in the windows of healthcare providers' outpatient clinic so that people would very rapidly know if they offered evidence-based clinical services and if they offered the full range of the Food and Drug Administration methods of contraception, family planning, and pregnancy prevention.
But that law was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court.
The National Family Life Association said it was a violation of their free speech rights to have to identify whether or not they offer clinical services or not.
So obviously, these centers have a lot of cash at their disposal. Where does it all come from? Shireen Shakouri.
A recent report came out that somewhere to the tune of $2 billion philanthropic dollars are funneled through crisis pregnancy centers.
But not all the money is philanthropic. Increasingly, crisis pregnancy centers are getting public money under the abstinence-only education provisions put into the welfare reform bill by the Clinton administration. Ashley Underwood is director of the research group Equity Forward.
At least 9 states use temporary assistance for needy family funds, also known as TANF dollars, to fund their alternatives to abortion programs. And what we have found is that overwhelmingly, that money is being used towards overhead costs, administration, and very, very little of it is going towards actually providing material goods and financial assistance to the people they are helping.
And, says Jennifer McKenna, the centers receiving public funds in general provide fewer services and more misinformation than the ones that don't get public money. As the landscape shifts and abortion becomes less available in more states, the potential for anti-abortion centers to cause harm increases.
Individual CPCs, whether they're affiliates of one of the big anti-abortion groups or not, they're using data platforms that have been created and are owned and held by Heartbeat International. They're not medical offices. They're not governed by HIPAA or any other medical privacy protections. People are providing pregnancy histories, what they're thinking about doing, you know, use of alcohol, use of, you know, other drugs, at a moment where we have now arrived in an abortion surveillance state.
I'm not sure if you are familiar with the EMMA Act, Every Mother Matters Act, that did pass in a few states. Yeah, this was a piece of legislation that basically set up virtual clinics and people accessing abortion would have to contact this call center managed by anti-abortion centers before being able to receive their care. It was a way to be able to track who was receiving abortion and, you know, just track their movements and whatnot.
Recently, people have become more aware of the dangers posed by fake clinics. Google and Yelp recently announced new policies to warn people searching for abortion care. A number of cities and towns, including San Francisco, have introduced their own ordinances to limit what fake clinics can do in their jurisdictions. Ultimately, though, Monica McLemore cautions that fake clinics are a symptom of an under-resourced and inadequate healthcare system.
well, fake clinics are going to have an identity crisis. They're going to start being overrun, just like prenatal providers are going to start being overrun. People who are going to be forced to birth, they're going to have to enter an already oversubscribed prenatal care provider situation, where we already have a Black maternal crisis, where Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in pregnancy and childbirth than white people. So they're going to have to decide, now that they got what they want, what's the plan?
Both Repro Action and the Exposed Fake Clinics website, maintained by the Abortion Access Front, have databases of fake clinics. So if someone you know is looking for a clinic, you can check those databases to make sure they're getting to a real clinic. Repro Action also wants to see people get out in the streets, picketing and flyering outside of fake clinics.
We really want to create resources that are accessible to people wherever they are in their journey of radicalizing themselves in their communities. Some people are ready to get out there and like hold up a sign in front of a fake clinic and, you know, get the hoses sprayed on them, which did happen at one of our protests. Or you can take on a softer approach or a more accessible to you approach and maybe escalate, or maybe just keep it where you're at and continue educating people, because that's also important.
Thanks to Youth for Action, Ariel Boone, Christina Amistad, Sarah Blanco, Anna Iglitzen, and Daniela Tomei for their help. For KPFA Radio, I'm Kate Raphael.
Thank you, Kate, for that feature story, The Truth About Fake Clinics. Kate Raphael is a producer on Women's Magazine and the author of the novel about underground abortion, The Midwives in Town. Fake clinics are expanding in areas even where abortion services are still very available. If you want to find out more about fake clinics, you can go to reproaction.org or exposefakeclinics.com for lots of information and resources. This was part of an hour-long KPFA feature presentation titled After Roe, In Search of Reproductive Justice. You can listen to the full hour program by visiting kpfa.org, then click on Area 941 Podcasts, and then click on KPFA Presents. You'll find the full version of this show, plus the individual segments and various other KPFA feature presentations.